three men were in the wilderness trying to cross a wild, raging river in front of them. It was big, wide, and torrents of water were flushing by. And so they bowed their heads and prayed. The first guy prayed and says, God, please give me the strength to cross the river safely to the other side. Poof! God answered his prayer, gave him strong legs and arms, and he jumped in and swam, you know, just all his might and barely made it to the other side. It was exhausting. Second guy saw what happened and he goes, God, please give me the strength and the tools to cross this river safely to the other side. God answered his prayer, gave him strong arms, strong legs, and a rowboat. So he jumped into the rowboat and rowed with all of his might and again barely made it to the other side. The third guy looked at what happened to the first two and goes, there's got to be a better way. So he bows his head and prays, says, God, please give me the strength and the tools and the intelligence to cross the river to the other side. God turned him into a woman. She took out her phone, GPS mapped it, and found out that there was a footbridge 5 minutes up the trail. She walked over to the footbridge, crossed over to the other side, and was safe. So, guys, I'm sorry that was... Psalm chapter 14 and Psalm chapter 53. Ever heard the phrase, Mama didn't raise no fool? I think we all have. The scripture, which appears twice, verbatim, written by David. Psalm chapter 14, verses 1. I'm going to read the 6 verses here. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Will evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on the Lord? There they are, overwhelmed with dread, for God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Hallelujah. Psalm 53, the first 3 verses are exactly like the first 3 verses in Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, there is no God, reading from Psalm 53. They are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned away. Father, thank you for your word today. As we look at this passage of scripture that's been repeated in another part of the Psalms, we pray that you would open our hearts and our lives to the truth, the eternal truth, the message that is here in our hearts. We thank you. We give you praise. Capture our attention, Lord. Help us to focus in on what we need to take from this passage. And we give you praise and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everyone said, take a look at this. You'll probably be familiar with these two people here.
Here. Real quick.
Now, I've been saying, you have one of the greatest catchphrases of all time. I've been always looking for a catchphrase like Conan Magic or I got the stuff, goes nowhere. Pity the fool, one of the greatest catchphrases of all time.
Of course, I pity the fool. I pity him. Definitely.
Right in here.
I pity the fool, you know.
I pity the fool. Well, he wasn't the first one that said that, by the way. Mr. T, Conan O'Brien, if he didn't know who the MC was. How many of you ever saw Mr. T in action in the A-Team? Quite a few of you have, okay. And he made that phrase famous, but he wasn't the first one that had said that. It was God himself who in so many words said, "I pity the fool." When we hear the word fool, what do you think about, or who do you think about? And spouses, do not point your finger at each other. This passage of Scripture is repeated, as I mentioned, word for word in Psalms 14 and 53. And it's interesting because sometimes, especially for men, we have a tendency to not listen very well. I guess this is the day we're picking on guys. Since I am one, I can pick on myself. Or not follow directions, or not follow instructions. Sometimes it takes me, moi, at least twice to hear the same words in order for it to sink in. That's probably my wife's biggest frustration with me, is that she has to say things twice a lot, sometimes more, before I go, "Oh yeah." And it's not that I'm stupid or anything, it's just that somehow my attention gets drifting away. I think about other things, or I'm looking at her and her lips moving, but nothing's sinking in. And God does repeat Himself in Scripture. Why? To emphasize certain things. The importance of what He is saying and the need for mankind to hear and understand and obey. It's as if God is shouting from the rooftops eternal wisdom that needs to be heard and followed through. Proverbs chapter 8 is a good example of this. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. These little sayings, as you read through the book of Proverbs, I recommend reading one proverb each day. Today's the first of September, read the first proverb. Tomorrow's the second, read the second proverb. And on through until you repeat yourself. I've been through the book of Proverbs hundreds and hundreds of times. And each time I go through it, it's like, whoa, another wisdom thing comes up and goes, yeah, I never thought of that before. That's the amazing ability of God's Word to be eternal and to speak to us at different times in different ways. And here's an illustration right out of Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom call out, "Hey, you, yo"? Does not understanding raise her voice, "Listen to me"? On the heights, along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gates leading into the city. At the entrance, she cries aloud. Now, you have to understand, back then, in the Old Testament times, each city was walled in, and the gates, there was only one set of gates, in and out. And at night they would close the gates and lock them up, and they would post people around there to make sure that intruders were not coming in. So here's wisdom personified as a lady, as a person calling out. "To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right." Wisdom calls out. As a matter of fact, wisdom calls out daily in our lives. We don't have to go very far to realize that there's something wrong with our culture. There's something wrong with our society. There's something wrong with our nation. There's something wrong with our world. And wisdom is shouting through the midst of all of that confusion and violence and turmoil, "Hey, listen to me." In Psalms chapter 14, the passage that I just read, it's interesting how God has this set up. Because in this particular situation, the first verse, he's saying, "The fool says in his heart that there is no God." And so what's happening here, God is inspiring King David to write these verses down, and David is making the distinction between the fool and the wise person, between the godly and the ungodly. And the first verse says the main distinguishing factor between the godly and the righteous person is that the godly person knows that there's a God, and that the godly person, knowing that there's a God, orders their life to follow God's word and His pattern. Whereas the ungodly person, the fool, rejects the idea of God altogether, which is amazing to me. This omnipresent God, everywhere present, this God who is omniscient, He knows everything about us, everything in the world. There's not one thing He misses in our lives. And He never forgets a thing, by the way. And this God who is omnipotent, there's nothing too hard for Him. The person who rejects this God lives their life doing whatever they want to do with no thought of being held accountable. I can't fathom that. I guess I can, because decades ago I was living in sin. I was doing my old thing. I was a fool. I was unwise. I was unrighteous. I was making bad decisions, and the consequences were all around me. How do I get out of them? Well, duh. Give your heart to God, submit to Him, and then begin to live according to His principles, His Word. Fools reject God and dismiss the idea of them ever being a lawbreaker. Hey, I'm doing fine. I don't need any help. Give me a break, man. I can do my own thing as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. Well, unfortunately, when you do something and make a bad choice, it does affect other people. Jeremiah chapter 17. The prophet Jeremiah writes in verses 9 and 10, "The heart, listen, is deceitful above all things and beyond cure." Another translation, "The heart is wicked above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve." The heart is deceptively wicked. The heart is evil. Okay, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm a good person. Come on now, give me a break. Well, I can tell you, even with a rev in front of my name, I know what kind of a person I am. And I know my inclinations, and they're not good. I have to constantly keep myself disciplined and keeping on the right path, because I'm a sinful person. I do things that are wrong, and I say things that are wrong, and I think things that are wrong, that are against God's Word. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. This is how the fool thinks. Listen, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Hey, man, I'm cool. I don't need any help. I'm good. I don't mess up. Verse 10 says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and His Word has no place in our hearts." So that's a big difference, a huge difference. And then verse 2 of Psalm 14 says, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men," verse 3, "to see if there's any who understand. All have turned aside. Everybody has become corrupt." That's a really bad indictment on the human race. Don't you believe so? Don't you think so? There's nobody that does good all the time. Now, I know that what you're thinking, I think that way myself. You know, I'm a good person. I have a good heart. Well, not really. And I try to do good all the time. But does anyone here ever hit 100% on doing good all the time? If you do, I'll be the first to sign up for your seminars. God is able to see and observe every human being and remember everything that they do. He looks down from heaven on the sons of men, but He cannot find anybody who is pure and holy all the time. I don't care if you're a Mother Teresa or a Billy Graham or the Pope or whoever. You're not holy all the time. You miss the mark. And then in that passage, as I read from verses 4 through 5 and 6, it says that fools sin against God's people. They overpower and bully them just like they eat food. But 5 and 6 verses say that God avenges His people and is their refuge against these bullies. Now, the word fool is interesting. The dictionary defines fool as somebody who lacks good judgment. For example, getting into a car and it's snowing or raining outside, and they take the convertible top down, so they're riding in the rain. That's foolish. Or they're in the car and they're on their phone texting, which is also very idiotic, not good to do. A fool also is those who lack moral wisdom. They don't make the right choices, which are moral and right according to God's word, or they lack the desire to know and to serve God. A fool says, I don't want to serve God. I don't want to know Him. I just want to live my life. Thank you very much. The Bible calls that a fool. Over 200 times in the Bible, the word fool, foolish, foolishly, foolishness appear. And as you can see at the bottom of your notes in your bulletin, there are a number of characteristics of a fool. I'm going to go through them real quickly before we get into our main notes. Look at some of those. An atheist, somebody who doesn't believe in God altogether, that's foolish. A slanderer, somebody who likes to put people down. Somebody who mocks sin, who's arrogant, who's a hypocrite, who's thankless, ungrateful, talkative. I know people who can just talk and 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 talk. And in Proverbs it says, the wise person keeps their mouth shut most of the time, you know, and tries not to overbearing people with their words. Dishonest, meddlesome, getting into other people's business when you're not asked to do, contentious, argumentative, unteachable, unprepared for eternity, squanders their time and opportunity. And this, I like this one. This is the last one. You can see a fool is sure to be known. It's sure to manifest itself. Eventually, somebody would go, this guy is not playing with a full deck. The elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. Whatever your illustration is. So looking at the message real quickly, we're going to jump through there. Mama didn't raise no fool. Number one, a fool has no desire to know or serve God. No desire. Romans chapter 1, verse 25 says, they, foolish, exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the created things rather than the Creator. They have no desire. They completely shut God out of their life. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, in the last book of the Bible, there's a picture of Jesus knocking on the door of someone's heart. And he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with you. But you have to open the door. You can't sit there and keep the door shut on Christ. He loves you enough to want to come in and be part of your life and to love you. I have a brother-in-law, one of my wife's brothers, she has three, who has a girlfriend who was raised in an atheistic home that hated God. And whenever my wife and I get together, matter of fact, my brother-in-law was in the hospital last year for a heart valve replacement. They gave him a pig valve, put that in there. And so when he laughs, at times he goes, I'm just teasing. Anyway, so we gathered around him and prayed. I'm trying to be funny. That didn't come out funny anyway. So we're praying, and his girlfriend was there, and she looked at us and walked right out of the room. She didn't want anything to do with us or the prayer. So no desire to know or serve God. Number two, a person becomes a fool by choice. You choose to become a fool. You're not born a fool. You don't have fool genes in you. You choose to become a fool. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. We know instinctively there's something beyond this life. What is it? The Bible's very clear what it is. And the Bible's very clear on how we can get to where we need to go, into His presence. I just had my conversation with my dad last week at 106. And I said, Dad, you know, he just had a negative argument with my sister. My sister wanted to come down and take him up to her place so that he would be safe during the hurricane. And my dad fights that. He resists it. And, of course, as soon as my sister hears resistance from my dad, it's like, boom, boom, boom. And so it's, you know, and I said, he said, boy, she gets really upset. I said, yeah. He says, I wonder where she got that from. And I said, you know, Dad, I just let you know that growing up in the same household as my sister, I was able to move myself out of there with one thing, and that's because I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I haven't fully arrived yet, but I'm on the good pathway. And my dad's response to me was, Yeah, that works for you. Continue to pray for him. Even with all of the evidence out there, nature, conscience, your conscience speaking to you, the Word of God going out, people still choose no. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Their wicked acts, their willful sins are suppress the truth. It's like shaking their fist in God's face. I'm going to do what I want to do. Thank you very much. You can't tell me. You're not my boss, so step aside. Ooh, dangerous, dangerous things. Now, there's a reason why people become a fool by choice. Some people feel that the moral failure of religious leaders. You know, that's an excuse. You know, the Catholic Church situation, other, you know, Protestant ministers of the past, televangelists, you know, haven't created a good feeling. Even people in this congregation have family members who did not give a good example of the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And so that can be an excuse. Others see, they can't see and hear and touch God. I can't hear and see and touch him. He doesn't exist. Or I had religion shoved down my throat. Thank you very much. Or here's another one. There's so much evil in the world. Why can't God stop the evil? He's powerful enough. Or just plain harden your hearts against God. People just harden their hearts against God. That's it is. Thirdly, people with worldly wisdom can become fools. I remember my wife was telling me this scenario. She was at the University of Hawaii, and she took an Old Testament class, a religious class, part of her major. And she walked in the first day. She found out that the professor was a former pastor of a church. And so, you know, she could tell pretty close right from the beginning that he was no longer a believer. And he allowed anyone to stand up and share their religion. He was, you know, open to doing that. Of course, my wife said there were three born-again Christians in the class that shared their testimony, what Christ had done in their life. And my wife was going, yeah. I said, did you do it, honey? She said, no, I was a little bit too intimidated, but it was great to hear that. Well, right at the end of the class, the last class, get this. As everybody was filing out, the bell rings, and everybody was leaving the last class, this is what this professor said. Jesus Christ was a failure. Class dismissed. How sad. How really sad for someone to think that way. Great learning can make somebody arrogant and prideful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. I really took on wisdom when I came to Christ. I thought I was educated, and I thought I had some intelligence, but no, when I came to Christ, the wisdom began to grow. Romans chapter 1, verse 22, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. I see some of these politicians out there, and I'll name that category. There are other categories of professionals. Proclaiming themselves to be wise, they became fools. They will stand before God one day and give an account. God has raised many of them up to a public national platform. What do they do with that? There's a heavy, heavy sentence, judgment on people who misuse that. Number four, a fool becomes an enemy of God's people. All of us have experienced that. If you're serving Christ with any fervor, with any zeal, you're going to be an enemy of somebody around you. Somebody was sharing with Betty and myself recently about the work situation, and just standing up for Christ can stir up the demonic forces of people around them. Agitate them. How often does it happen to me? How often does it happen to you? Everyone here. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 10. The bloodthirsty hate a person of integrity and seek to kill the upright. Well, that's really nice words, God. Thank you. Well, it's true. They hate us. Why? Because we shine the light of Jesus and it brings conviction in their hearts. There's an eternal spiritual battle between righteousness and unrighteousness, between goodness and evil. It's a battle between holiness and unholiness, between wisdom and foolishness. How many times have you been called goody two-shoes or somebody's made a mockery of your faith? Between Christ and Satan, the battle goes on. Remember the shepherd boy David and Goliath? David runs up to Goliath. Goliath's this monster of a guy. You know, he goes, I'm gonna grind you up, boy. And David said to him, you come to me with a javelin and spear and cursing the name of my God. I come to you in the name of my God. And I'm going to cut your head off today and give your body as food for the birds. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the spiritual realm one day when we stand before God, because His Word says our enemies will become our footstool. Not that I am preaching hatred towards foolish people. I'm just saying that's reality. That's the way it is. And when David, before he became a king, he was a warrior, King Saul was after him, trying to pin him to the wall with these spears. And David kept not only dodging the spears, but he would not speak against King Saul, or he would not take advantage of him and kill him when he had the opportune time. He honored the fact that King Saul was the king, and then God dealt with King Saul on his own. Our choice as God's chosen, as children of wisdom, is to love the person and to hate the foolishness and the sin. To love those who hate us. Love your enemies. That's the mark of a Christian. Love your enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Do good to them. Easy to say, hard to do, isn't it, huh? I know. Number five, a fool is not aware of their foolishness. They have no clue. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8, the wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. You know what that reminds me of? It's like somebody goes, and you're trying to speak to them, and they don't listen. They don't want to listen. It's like this. You ever hear, ever seen somebody do this? And it's not just kids either. You know, I've seen adults act like that. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2, fools find no pleasure in understanding. All they want to do is make sure their opinions are known. Foolish people reject correction and instruction and discipline. They reject it. Foolish people have no sense of how they appear to others. They really don't. They have no concept. They're not aware of their foolishness. And lastly, a fool has no place in God's eternal kingdom. That's the saddest part. They are heaping up for themselves, as it says in God's Word, judgment that will come upon them one day. Revelation chapter 21, verses 6 and 8, at the end of the Bible. God said to me, John the Apostle, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But, verse 8, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And then verse 27 says, nothing impure will ever enter into the holy city, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Foolish people have no place in the eternal kingdom. They have no place for God in their lives. Therefore, God has no place for a fool in the eternal kingdom of glory. A fool thinks that they're good enough to get into heaven if they believe that there's a heaven, to be accepted by God if they believe that there's a God. which they don't really. It's all based on their good works, not based on the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. But God is continually reaching out to the foolish people, oftentimes through you and your example, wherever you are. Sometimes it's not an easy thing to be an example. Matthew chapter 22 talks about the banquet that God is preparing, and it's an illustration of the heavenly scene. And in Matthew chapter 22, it talks about the parable of a king whose son was getting married, and so he sent out all these wedding invitations, and he invited all these people out there to come into the wedding invitations. Nobody wanted to come. They all rejected the invitations. And so he basically said, that's it. I'm closing the doors. We're not going to try to force them to come in. It's going to have to be their choice. And foolish people, unfortunately, choose to stay from God. A fool has no desire to know or to serve God. A person becomes a fool by choice. People with worldly wisdom can become fools. A fool becomes an enemy of God's people. A fool is not aware of their foolishness, and a fool has no place in God's kingdom. I remember when I was getting my teaching credential years ago, back in the 80s, at Sac State. I was teaching at the Capital Christian School, a private school that was part of our church. And I decided to go ahead and get my teaching credential. And so I had to go through a whole gauntlet of classes and this and that, you know, what they call ethnic awareness. I had to, with a African-American teacher, with a Hispanic or Mexican teacher, with a Asian, and a Native American. So all of these were part of preparation for people getting their teaching credentials, so that when they encounter, the teachers encounter people from different ethnic groups, they can understand them better. And I understand that. That's okay. That's good. But they all have their own philosophy, which 99.99% of the time is not centered on God's Word. But this one teacher was interesting. She was talking one day about games, and she mentioned Ouija boards and Dungeons and Dragons. How many of you have heard those before? A Ouija board, Dungeons and Dragons. I hope that none of you have tootled in that, but I really believe with all my heart those aren't good. And so I challenged her. I forgot her name. I said, Mrs., these aren't good. She kind of looked at me like I'd hit her between the head with a hammer. She goes, how do you know these are not good? And I said, well, there are spiritual forces that are attached to these games. People don't understand when they get into these things that, you know, they can get really manipulated. And then she looked at me and she said, have you ever tried these games? And I didn't think about it at the time, but the answer came to me right then on the spot. I said to her, I don't have to drink strychnine to know it's poison. Her response, oh, come on, Barry. But it's true. You know to avoid some things that you know are bad for you. Keep away from them. Parents with children, grandparents here, plenty of grandparents. Please make sure that you try to monitor your children's activities, especially nowadays with the computer and all the evil that comes out of it. Keep your hands upon that whole thing. Your children are growing up in a world far different than what I grew up in. And it gets worse as we go along. What can you do about it? A lot. You can train and teach and love and encourage your children and your grandchildren to love God and to honor Him, to be wise and not to be a fool. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, thank you. Thank you. I once was a fool. I didn't even realize it. I was uninterested in being taught, instructed, disciplined. I was very rebellious. My opinion was the only one that mattered. May God, you graciously, mercifully reached down and touched me and brought me out of my foolishness into the marvelous kingdom of light. I haven't arrived yet. I'm on the way, and I'm enjoying every step of the way. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I get knocked around. But God, I know I can see the goal in front of me, and it's good. And I'm more like Jesus today than I was when I first started. I've changed. I can look back, Lord, and see the difference. And I can see the difference in how I react to things now as opposed to how I reacted in the past. I pray for all of us today, myself included, God, that your keeping power, your preservation would be around us. Keep us on that straight and narrow. Help us, Lord, to not be foolish, but to be wise, to bring your word into our hearts and to change us. And we thank you for this time. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give the Lord thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We praise you today. We praise you today. Hallelujah.